When you cast a ballot, how do you really know it's counted exactly as you intended?
That is the million-dollar question, right?
Right. I mean, think about the last time you voted. You walk into a polling place, you slide a piece of paper into a scanner, or maybe you tap a touch screen. The machine beeps. A screen says thank you, and then what?
Yeah, you just walk out the door.
Exactly. You walk out the door and you just kind of have to trust the system. You trust the software, you trust the vendor, you trust the transmission.
Which is asking a lot of the average voter these days.
It is. Well, today we are taking a deep dive into a highly confidential internal R&D document. And this is hot off the presses. It's dated today, March 11th, 2026.
Hot off the presses is right.
It comes to us from the Dereticular Civic Infrastructure Division, and their entire mission, basically their whole reason for existing, is to completely eliminate that blind trust.
It is a genuinely fascinating document to read through. What we are looking at are the internal blueprints for a system they are calling the Sovereign Elector.
The Sovereign Elector.
Right. At its core, it's a brand new $4,500 precinct bundle. And the ambition here is, it's just massive. Dereticular is aiming to entirely overhaul the physical and digital infrastructure of United States elections.
They aren't just tweaking the edges here.
No, not at all. They're proposing a ground-up rebuild of how democracy operates on a purely technical level.
Okay, let's unpack this. The document starts by laying out the core problem, describing the U.S. electoral system as facing what they call a catastrophic crisis of trust.
Strong words.
Very strong. It points out that our current infrastructure relies heavily on aging, proprietary black box machines from just a few highly centralized vendors, names you've probably heard on the news like ESNS and Dominion.
Yeah.
The document claims these legacy systems suffer from deep supply chain vulnerabilities, completely opaque code bases that outside experts can't audit, and delayed reporting mechanisms that just fuel public skepticism.
And right here, before we dive into the actual
Yeah.
technology, we need to pause and make something explicitly clear to you, the listener.
Yes, very important disclaimer here.
The Dereticular document makes the specific claim that these legacy systems are heavily scrutinized by both sides of the political spectrum, left-wing and right-wing alike.
Both sides.
Right, so we want to state right up front that we are simply reporting the claims, the context, and the arguments provided in this internal Dereticular document.
We are not taking any political sides here.
Exactly. Nor are we endorsing these viewpoints ourselves. Our goal for this deep dive is strictly to analyze the technological and structural solutions Dereticular is proposing in the source material. Nothing more.
Well said. We are just the guides to the blueprint today. And I gotta say, the blueprint itself is wild because Dereticular is proposing a massive philosophical shift.
Yeah, they want to replace those centralized secret black boxes with a new foundational concept they are calling sovereign automation.
Sovereign automation. Sounds like something out of a sci-fi novel.
It does, but it's a brilliant way to frame it, and it really shifts how we think about civic life. They are taking their combat-tested industrial-grade hardware and applying it directly to democratic infrastructure.
Okay, so what does sovereign automation actually mean in practice?
The entire philosophy here is about shifting the burden of proof. Historically, the model has been a private vendor saying, "Trust our software, we promise it works, but you aren't allowed to look at the code."
Just trust us.
Right. But Dereticular is engineering a system based on radical transparency. The hardware itself is designed to mathematically prove its own integrity to the public in real time.
And what I found so surprising, and you really have to love how technology pivots in these unexpected ways, is the origin of the technology making this possible.
Oh, this is my favorite part of the document.
Right. To secure these votes, Dereticular is using something called a split ledger architecture. But they didn't invent this for elections. The document casually mentions that this exact architecture was originally pioneered for an AI system called hemp-grade AI.
Yeah, an agricultural and botanical AI.
Yeah, it sounds so bizarre at first.
It does sound bizarre, but when you think about the exact problem hempgrade was trying to solve, it makes perfect sense.
Walk us through that connection.
So in that industry, you have growers who need to immutably prove the genetic lineage and the quality of a specific crop strain on a public ledger.
They have to prove what they grew.
Exactly. But they absolutely cannot reveal the proprietary location of their farm or their personal identity to their competitors.
Because that's their trade secret.
Right. So they needed to perfectly decouple the what from the who.
Yeah.
And that is the exact same cryptographic problem you face in a Democratic election.
It is the ultimate tension in election security. You have to verify beyond a shadow of a doubt that a human being is legally allowed to vote.
Yes.
But the absolute second that ballot is cast, the vote must be completely untethered from their identity, so their choice remains completely private.
Precisely. It's a paradox of anonymity versus verification. And to solve it, they are deploying this tech into a precinct kit with a target MSRP of just $4,500.
Which is shockingly affordable for government tech.
It really is. But when you look at the bill of materials for this kit, it reads less like standard municipal office equipment and a lot more like a tactical deployment kit for a cybersecurity team.
Okay, let's unbox this thing because the hardware specs are fascinating. So for your $4,500, a voting precinct gets a complete standalone ecosystem.
Right out of the box.
First, you have the hub, which is called the Sovereign Sentry Pro. This acts as the air-gapped database for the voting location. It stores all the encrypted local tallies on an NVM RAID array.
And for the non-technical folks listening, that just means it's an incredibly fast storage drive that instantly duplicates the data across multiple drives.
But nothing is ever lost if a single component fails.
Exactly. Ultimate redundancy.
Then you have the actual voting terminals, which they call Sovereign DEX.
Yeah.
Kit comes with four of them. These are heavily ruggedized touchscreens.
And what is particularly interesting about their software architecture is that they run hardened Kali Linux kernels.
Yes. When I read that, my jaw dropped. For those unfamiliar, Kali Linux is an operating system typically used by cybersecurity professionals and ethical hackers for penetration testing.
Right. They are basically running the voting machines on the exact operating system designed to withstand the most aggressive digital attacks on Earth.
It's brilliant. And more importantly, the document notes that these tablets have absolutely no Wi-Fi or Bluetooth chips installed on the motherboard.
None. Zero.
They are entirely stripped of any radio frequency components. You literally cannot connect to them wirelessly because the antennas physically do not exist.
You can't hack what isn't there.
Exactly. They are hardwired via physical Cat6 Ethernet cables straight back to that Sentry hub.
Which brings us to a crucial legal and physical requirement. The kit also includes four VDPOT printers.
VVPT.
Right. These are industrial thermal printers enclosed in tamper-evident chassis. Because the system utilizes cryptographic ledgers, DeReticular had to ensure they didn't run afoul of the voluntary voting system guidelines.
Specifically, VVSG 2.0.
Yes. Those guidelines legally prohibit blockchain-only voting in the United States. You cannot just cast a digital vote into the ether.
You need a physical backup.
There absolutely must be a voter-verified paper audit trail. That's the VVP. They built this system from the silicon up to ensure that physical paper remains paramount.
Rounding out the hardware is something called the Nomad Link. This is a transmission bridge, but the document stresses that it is kept completely powered down, locked away in a physical box until the polls officially close.
It is the ultimate fail-safe for getting the data out.
We'll get into how that transmission actually works in a minute. But first, let's step away from the circuit boards. I want to put you, the listener, right in the shoes of a voter to experience how this tech actually feels in practice.
I think that's super important because hearing about cryptographic ledgers sounds intimidating. But the physical workflow is surprisingly intuitive.
Right. It has to be intuitive or the system fails. So DeReticular breaks this down into a four-phase operational workflow. Phase one is authentication.
Okay, picture this.
You walk into your local polling place and check in. A human poll worker verifies your identity against the state's electronic poll book.
And this poll book serves as the private ledger in the split ledger equation we talked about.
Right. So you show your ID, you are marked as voted so you can't vote twice, and then you are handed a blank, cryptographically watermarked paper slip that has a single-use QR token printed on it.
Now, let me play devil's advocate here for a second. If I am holding a paper token with a QR code, what stops someone from just swiping that token out of my hand and casting a vote as me?
That is a great question, and it's where the environment matters. You are inside a tightly controlled, physically monitored polling location.
Right, there are people everywhere.
The physical custody of that single-use token from the poll worker's desk to the voting booth a few feet away is your responsibility. But here is the genius part. if someone did snatch it, they wouldn't compromise your identity.
Because there's no data on it.
Exactly. That QR token contains absolutely zero identity data. None. Your name, your ID number, your address, all of that securely stays on the state's poll book.
Oh.
By the time you take that token and walk to the machine, your identity and your voting intent have been officially and permanently decoupled.
Okay, that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
So now you are in phase two, the vote. You walk up to the sovereign deck, which, remember, is totally air-gapped and hardwired. You insert your paper token.
The screen boots up a local user interface run by an image called OpenClaw Elector.
But wait, how does a completely offline machine handle accessibility? Because complying with the Americans with Disabilities Act is a strict legal requirement. And usually, things like advanced voice-to-text require a cloud connection.
That is where the local processing power shines. The OpenClaw interface uses Whisper Local AI.
Whisper Local.
Yeah. It is a highly compressed, incredibly efficient artificial intelligence model that runs entirely on the device itself. It provides completely offline audio navigation and text-to-speech for visually impaired voters.
That is seriously impressive.
It even has physical ports to support SIP and PUF interfaces for voters with severe physical disabilities. It does all of this without ever pinging an outside server.
So you use the interface, you make your selections, and the machine prints your physical paper ballot on that heavy-duty thermal printer.
You look at it through the glass, you visually verify your candidates are correct, and the paper physically drops into a secure lockbox. From the voter's perspective, you are done.
What's fascinating here is what happens underneath the hood, right at that exact moment. This brings us to phase three, cryptographic attestation.
Phase three.
The microsecond you cast that vote and the paper drops, the sovereign deck relies on what DeReticular calls a hardware oracle.
A hardware oracle.
The deck generates a cast vote record, or a CVR. It then uses an onboard TPM 2.0 module, specifically using an 82551 time private key, to cryptographically sign that record.
Whoa, okay, slow down. You just threw a lot of heavy cryptography terms at me. Translate that into plain English for us. What is a TPM 2.0 module doing with that key?
Okay, fair enough. Think of the TPM module and that private key like a tamper-proof digital wax seal that is exclusively stamped by a robotic arm.
Okay, I like that visual.
The physical hardware itself is stamping the data packet with a mathematical signature that is practically impossible to forge. The signed packet basically says, machine hashtag 802 of precinct 44 witnessed a vote for candidate X at 14.02 p.m.
So the machine doesn't know who you are.
Exactly. It just mathematically proves that a certified piece of hardware physically recorded a valid vote at a specific time. That signed packet is then pushed over that hardwired Cat 6 cable to the Sentry Pro hub, where it sits securely on that redundant drive.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The day goes on. The Sentry Pro collects thousands of these stamped digital wax seals. Now it is 8.00 p.m. The polls officially close. We enter phase four, the tally and transmission.
The grand finale.
The precinct judge walks up to the Sentry Pro hub. They take out a physical sovereign key, which is a specialized YubiKey. They insert it into the machine and they physically turn it.
A physical key turn.
Yes. This tangible physical action shifts the entire operating state of the system from voting to tally. All of those mathematically signed hashes are instantly compiled into a Merkle tree.
And for those who aren't deep into blockchain architecture, a Merkle tree is essentially a digital tamper-evident pyramid.
A pyramid of data.
Right. All the individual votes form the base of the pyramid. They are hashed together, layer by layer, all the way to the single tip at the top. If a bad actor tries to alter even a single vote at the bottom, the math at the top of the pyramid instantly breaks.
Which would immediately alert everyone that the data was tampered with.
It is mathematically rigid.
So once that tamper-evident pyramid is built, then, and only then, is that Nomad-linked transmission bridge taken out of its box, unlocked, and powered on. It blasts the encrypted block of hashes directly to the state's central locutus ledger.
Which serves as the public ledger in this whole split ledger equation. The beautiful result is that any citizen, journalist, or election watchdog can go look at the public blockchain and independently verify that machine hashtag 802 recorded a vote for candidate X.
You mathematically prove the digital tally matches the machine count perfectly.
Well, the physical paper ballots sit securely in their lockboxes, ready for a manual recount if anyone demands it.
It is incredibly elegant. But of course, no system is perfect. What happens when things go wrong in the real world?
Because they always do.
Always. The DeReticular document includes a thorough risk register, which details how they anticipate and mitigate the biggest, ugliest threats. Let's look at Arvo E01, network tampering.
Ah, the classic fear.
Yes, the pervasive fear that state-sponsored hackers could somehow alter votes via the internet while the polls are open.
DeReticular's mitigation here relies on extreme physical air gapping. As we discussed, the sovereign decks simply do not possess the microchips required to connect to Wi-Fi or cellular networks.
Right.
But they go a step further with the Sentry Hub. The hub actually has its WAN ports and antennas physically disabled by hardware-level relays during voting hours.
Wait, hardware-level relays?
Yeah, it's not a software firewall that you can just bypass with code. It is a physical break in the circuit. The machine physically cannot connect to the outside world until that precinct judge turns the physical YubiKey to initiate the tally phase at 8 p.m.
That is wild. Okay, what about physical disruptions? Our Vote 02 tackles the spicy pillow or grid attack scenario. We've seen vulnerabilities in regional power grids before.
Sure have.
What happens if there is a targeted attack on the grid, or honestly, just a severe thunderstorm, and the power drops out at a rural voting precinct? Does democracy just pause?
The power efficiency of the sovereign hardware is the mitigation here. The Sentry Hub operates on less than 15 watts of power.
Less than 15 watts. That's basically a light bulb.
It's remarkably low.
Yeah.
And because of this incredibly low draw, the precinct kits ship with 2 kilowatt-hour LiFePO4 battery backups.
Wait, what does that mean in hours?
For context, that is enough dedicated battery power to run the entire 4-terminal precinct completely off the grid for a full 48 hours.
2 full days without grid power.
Yeah.
That is incredible resilience. But let me push back again. Let's say the power is fine, the voting goes perfectly, it's 8:00 p.m., but we hit RVOTE04, transmission blockout.
Okay.
Let's say cellular networks fail due to high traffic, or worse, someone intentionally parks a signal jammer outside the polling place right when the polls close.
A nightmare scenario.
The precinct judge turns the key, but the Nomad Link can't upload the tally to the state capitol. Does the data just sit there?
This is exactly where the Nomad Link bridge shows its tactical value. It doesn't rely on a single vulnerable connection. It utilizes what they call signal fusion.
Signal fusion.
Yes, it bonds LTE signals across multiple different cellular carriers simultaneously, searching for any path out.
Mm-hmm.
And if the cellular bands are completely jammed or offline, it features an automated Starlink satellite failover.
Satellite failover.
Wow. This guarantees that no matter what is happening to the local cell towers or the regional internet infrastructure, that encrypted tamper-evident pyramid of votes is going to reach the central locutus ledger immediately.
Okay, let's look at the ultimate nightmare scenario outlined in RVOTE 03. Digital tally dispute. What if a candidate loses, comes out the next morning, and publicly claims the DeReticular machines themselves are corrupt and flip the digital votes inside that tamper-evident pyramid?
The dreaded scenario.
What is the fail-safe when the digital math itself is questioned?
The fail-safe is beautifully simple and crucially aligns perfectly with existing U.S. legal standards. If the digital tally is ever disputed, DeReticular's official policy is to completely defer to the physical paper.
To the paper.
The printed, voter-verified paper ballot that you looked at through the glass and dropped into the physical lockbox serves as the absolute ultimate legal authority.
So the math doesn't replace the paper.
No, the machine is essentially programmed to say, here is the mathematically proven digital count. But if you doubt it for even a second, go count the paper. The physical paper remains the ultimate unhackable truth.
So what does this all mean for the listener? We are looking at an impending reality that replaces opaque, heavily criticized black boxes with mathematically provable hardware integrity.
Right.
It utilizes a public cryptographic ledger to ensure transparency, but it aggressively pairs it with an absolutely paramount physical paper trail to ensure reality. This blend of extreme cybersecurity, agricultural AI architecture, and basic, tangible paper could very well be the exact system you interact with the next time you step into a voting booth.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you can really see the strategic and economic impact DeReticular is aiming for. The election security market is currently dominated by a few massive aging conglomerates.
Yeah, those centralized vendors we talked about.
By taking their existing combat-tested industrial product lines and intelligently modifying them for civic duty, DeReticular is aggressively stepping into a multi-billion dollar government procurement market.
That's a massive power play.
They're positioning themselves not just as a niche hardware vendor, but as the ultimate provider of uncompromising sovereign civic infrastructure.
It is a disruptive play. They are betting everything that radical transparency, open ledgers, and zero trust hardware will win over both cautious municipal election boards and a deeply skeptical voting public.
And this raises an important question for you to consider as we wrap up.
Oh, lay it on us.
The sovereign elector relies entirely on this split ledger concept to perfectly decouple who you are from what you chose. It proves an action happened without revealing the actor.
Right.
If this zero-trust, perfectly air-gaffed architecture actually works and becomes the new gold standard for our elections, what other massive, privacy-heavy pillars of society might be next?
Oh, that's interesting.
Think about the implications. What about anonymous corporate whistleblower programs? Or sensitive jury deliberations? Or even sealed court testimonies?
Wow, applying sovereign automation to the courts.
Exactly. If we finally have the technology to demand a mathematically unhackable digital twin for our most sacred democratic right, how long until we demand that same level of provable, trustless security for the rest of our civic lives?
That is a fascinating thought to leave on. The line between absolute digital security and tangible physical reality is getting very, very thin, and it's reshaping how we trust the world around us. Thank you so much for joining us as we unpack this dereticular document today. Keep asking those hard questions and stay curious. We will catch you on the next deep dive.